Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. What a marvelous Wednesday night. I'm so glad you came to join us in giving assistance to the incarcerated mentally ill. That also includes people who stand a greater risk of incarceration because of their mental illness. Small victories to report tonight, June 24th, 2015. I want you to know, first of all, that assistance to the incarcerated mentally ill is ordinarily on air at 9 p.m. PST. That's 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're a little late this evening. And we're so glad that you joined us. Many of you, I know, will join us by listening to this broadcast at a later date. And I ask you to also share it, so that we'll have even more people who are aware about this issue and who will help with this issue. We want you to join us by phone at 818-572-2947. You have 30 minutes to call in if you want to speak on air. The telephone number again is 818-572-2947. This is PTSD Awareness Month. That's Post-Traumatic Stress Syndrome Awareness Month. And we want everyone who battles with PTSD to know that we support you. We're with you. We care about you. We want you to please get the treatment that is needed and stick with the treatment that's prescribed. I pray that all of you will have medical care that is interested in you and your illness, and that if you need to change medications for some reason, that you will have a doctor who is aware of that and will work with you to find the right medication that will work well for your condition. But stay on your treatment. That is the most important thing. Please do that. We want you to be well, healthy, and free. We don't want you in jail. And unfortunately, that is still what happens to people in America who have PTSD and other mental illnesses. Jail seems to be the preferred place. They treat you in jail. You won't have that choice, but it's a very uncomfortable and untherapeutic environment, especially for someone who has a mental condition. Excuse me. So I advise you to please take your medication because your family loves you. I hope that you love you and that you will do that. Do that because you deserve it, and those who love you deserve it. Congressman Tim Murphy, a Republican from the 18th District of Pennsylvania, announced that $15 million in funding for assisted outpatient treatment programs is included in the appropriations bill. That is good news. That's for AOT programs, $15 million. I said 15, not 50, not 150, $15 million. Thank you for small beginnings, U.S. Congress. God said that we should not look down on the day of small beginnings. So we give you praise for appropriating $15 million for assisted outpatient treatment programs. Also, NAMI, that's NAMI, N-A-M-I, has pledged support for Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act of 2015. NAMI says Representatives Tim Murphy and Representative Edie Bernice Johnson, she's a Democrat from Texas, have introduced H.R. 2646. That's the Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act of 2015. This introduction begins a legislative process toward mental health reform, which is long overdue. You betcha. NAMI has submitted a letter of support to Representatives Murphy and Johnson, indicating our appreciation of their leadership and our commitment to work with them to pass comprehensive mental health legislation. And there's a lot more to NAMI's letter, but we want to congratulate NAMI for getting on board. Thank you. Thank you very much. Everybody who put together the PTSD Awareness Month, thank you. All the groups and organizations that are making plans and who've already had different events to bring more awareness about that issue, thank you very much. U.S. Congress, we thank you again for the drop in the bucket for funding for AOT programs. We know that that's needed, and we appreciate you funding it. And thank you, NAMI. You know, more people are becoming aware of the injustice of imprisoning rather than treating mental illness. We attribute all of these victories that I read to you tonight, to you, the people who stand up for the human rights of persons with serious mental illness. Homelessness, prison, and death must cease being America's response to serious mental illness. We want to thank you all so much for giving assistance to the incarcerated mentally ill, and to people who live under the threat of arrest because of a common treatable health condition. We want to say that we really appreciate you. It's a marvelous thing when communities recognize that we don't have any disposable people. We don't have any. Everybody is important, and all lives matter. Please help our advocacy work to continue enjoying these victories by purchasing a very well-written book by a lifelong human rights advocate who has bipolar disorder. The name of the book is Bloody Tombs. That's B-L-O-O-D-Y T-O-O-M-B-S by Bob Darby. It is now available through CreateSpace. And today I found that it's available at Amazon.com. That's Amazon. Amazon, you can read a free preview of the book. And I'm sure if you read that preview, you will be very happy to pay the rate to receive one for yourself. Again, this is Amy's first fundraiser in 8 years of giving free services to whomever needed our help. We've written hundreds of articles thousands of emails, a great number of petitions, a few fundraisers. We've done that for you, free of charge. You who somehow, some mysterious, magical way, I guess it's by grace, that you were able to reach me on the phone or by email and let me know that you needed Amy's help. And I'm so glad that each one of you who have been persistent enough to keep calling until you reach me or keep writing emails until you found me. I'm so glad that I was able to help you in some way and encourage you. And I also want to thank our decision makers, because so often they really do respond. Oh no, they don't respond to me. They respond by sometimes alleviating some of the discomfort of the people who are at their mercy. Sometimes they respond, very rarely, but they do, by transferring a patient from a jail or prison to a mental health care facility, a mental hospital. Sometimes they respond by extending visiting hours to parents who've been disallowed the opportunity to even see their mentally ill loved ones for years, And I thank the decision makers every time they respond in any way to our advocacy on behalf of the incarcerated mentally ill. You know, if you be merciful, you will inherit mercy. You get back what you put out. What goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. And so I'm so glad to see tonight that Congress is sowing some good seeds. I know already, because the results of AOT are not something we're learning about. We already know that AOT is a very successful program. We have Kendra's Law, Laura's Law. AOT programs provide subsistence assistance and mandated mental health treatment. You see, unfortunately, people who are mentally ill, especially when they're in a crisis, may reject treatment. That is a part of their condition. Even people who've been on treatment and it's been successful for them, to tell you the truth, they're particularly likely to reject continuation of their treatment. Because when they're better, it's like people who have high blood pressure. They get better, and they feel like, you know, they don't need the medicine anymore. But you and I know that's not the case. Getting off their high blood pressure medicine can cause strokes, heart attacks, enlarged hearts. And with mentally ill people, once they've begun treatment and they feel better and get off of it, I haven't seen any statistics, but I really think it makes them worse. I think it does. But in any case, they wind up in crisis. And in America, mental health crisis equals jail. Let's just be frank about it. And for some people, it ends up costing them their lives, because our police officers have PTSD also. I said our police officers seem to have a really bad case of PTSD also. And when you get two people and neither one of them is rational, and one of them has guns and tasers, and the mentally ill person might even have a little knife or maybe a gun, you've got a bad scenario. And so we need everyone to stay on their mental health treatment. And the only way to really do that is to put them under an AOT program, an assisted outpatient treatment program, providing for their housing, their nutrition, and their meds. And this program is a lot less expensive than incarceration, and it stops the cycling in and out of prison, in and out of jail. I read about one woman who had been arrested over 300 times. Exactly. That's ridiculous. You're right. 300 times. And she was mentally ill. Imagine if she had been put on an AOT program after the first time. She would have had a totally different life. AOT programs have the capacity to restore mentally ill people back to normal living, wholesome living. And I'm just so glad that Congress appropriated $15 million in funding for AOT programs. And I'm glad that NAMI gave the nod to the new bill, H.R. 2646. And it is wonderful that we have a PTSD awareness month, because there are so many families impacted by PTSD in at least one of their members. You know, I want you to know that this is all very good news. And it's so huge that it seems strange to be able to tell you about all three of these victories in one conversation. Yes, it's a victory to have a PTSD awareness month. I think that we have an autism awareness month. I think that we also have a bipolar disorder awareness month. We might have a schizophrenia awareness month. America is beginning to notice that we have a mental health crisis. And the crisis is not so much the disease as it is the way we respond to the disease, the crisis. We human beings, and we're aware that not all of us are human beings, but we who are human beings are hurt when we see sick people homeless. We're concerned when we see sick people begging for something to eat out on the street. Oh, yes, that bothers real human beings, because real human beings have compassion for their fellow man. It's natural. But the Bible says in the last days, people will be without natural affection. So we're aware that some of you have gone over into that apathy, where it doesn't bother you to see a person homeless, see a person sick and suffering. But most of us in America are still human beings, and we care, and we're glad that our representatives are taking notice, that we are taking notice. It's a big struggle, but the word is getting out that America is very negligent, I would say criminally negligent, of Americans with mental disabilities. And I think that that trend may be reversing now. I want you to please write to Congress and let them know that you appreciate the appropriation of $15 million in funding for assisted outpatient treatment. That's so important. And I'll try to speak a little faster to tell you a scenario of where that is very needed in Atlanta. You may remember a lady I wrote about who has two sons who are both mentally ill, and of course that means they're both in jail, especially because they're black. And one of them stayed in jail about 6 years for a crime he did not commit. And he was on drug therapy while he was in prison. He grew up as a little boy with mental illness. She got Social Security for him the entire time he was a little boy growing up. But by the time he came out of jail, he was over age 18. He had gotten mental health treatment the whole while he was in jail. But they did not restart his Social Security check yet, because the state of Georgia didn't send Social Security Administration. They wanted a statement and information that he was getting mental health treatment while he was in jail. And Georgia Department of Corrections, I was told, didn't send it. You know, these people who are coming out of jails and hospitals, they need social workers to make sure things are right for them time they come out. Otherwise, they go through a long gap without treatment, and some of them go through a great deal of time without housing or anything. That's what happened to this young man. And, you know, it was very unfortunate. It put a lot of stress on him. He wasn't getting his medications. He didn't have a place to live. He couldn't live with his mother because his conviction was of a sexual nature. And she lived near a park, a community center, actually. And so here he's been basically from pillar to post for guess how long? 2 years. 2 years. So now they have a Social Security lawyer they're working with. If this young man had been released from jail under an AOT program, he would have had a home, a place to go. He would have had food and clothing, and he would have had his meds. This young man was optimistic and hopeful when he first got out of jail. But he ran into one stumbling block after another. And it's unfair to people who already have weak minds. Yes, weak minds. That's not to say that they're not intelligent. In fact, I found them to be Most mentally ill people have superior intelligence in some areas. So it's not always a matter that if you're mentally ill, you're retarded. There are different types of mental illness. and many of them are very smart, very gifted, like Bob Darby, who wrote Bloody Tunes, and I hope you get it. So let's all support AOT programs. Let's not have a society where a person who has a mental disability has to prove themselves to be sick before they get treatment. And what proof can they offer? A bloody knife? A smoking gun? We don't want the proof. We want them to get treatment. And if they've been treated behind bars, it should be automatic. So please attend to that and demand it when you call or write and thank Congress for appropriating $15 million for the AOT program. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. If you're listening by computer, you'll be cut off now, maybe. But if you're on the phone, you can continue with me a little bit more. And that's just wonderful. It's wonderful how Blog Talk Radio gives us a little wrap-up time. Mental health care is important. All lives matter. And we thank you for joining us every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. My name is Mary Neal. I direct Assistance to Incarcerated Mentally Ill. I appreciate you very much. I appreciate all the people who stand up with us as we demand that homelessness, prison, and death stop being our response to severe mental illness. We need treatment for that. We need housing for disabled people who are unable to provide for themselves. We need them to be taken care of. This happens in the best, so-called best of families. I don't know what the best of families means, really. I think that all families have certain issues. One family's issues may not be another family's issues. But this happens to anybody. Anybody could have a mentally ill child. To tell you the truth, anybody could have a car accident or a slip in the bathtub and get brain damaged. Our military people are oftentimes stressed and have PTSD, at least some level of it, for some length of time, especially our battlefield veterans. We care about all of you. Our elders, many of our elders, do not forever keep a clear mind. Some of them go into Alzheimer's or just old age dementia. We're aware that a great many couples, especially in the last 20 years, have had children who developed autism. They say that autism may be partly caused by vaccinations. I'm not prepared to argue that point. I think that if vaccinations caused autism in a child, I think that there must have been a weakness toward it in the first place. Because, you know, I took my vaccinations and I didn't get autism. And our children in my household take their vaccinations and they don't get it. So I think that it must be, if it comes from vaccinations, like some people think it does, there must be something within that person that makes them respond that way to the vaccinations. However, There are a great many young people who've had children who developed autism from whatever cause. And they need treatment, and they need a great deal of help. And the truth is that jail, prison, would be the worst thing possible for an autistic person who I understand is very sensitive to their environments and noises and what have you. It's ridiculous that this system thinks it can punish people back into a state of good health. When you tell a person who's mentally ill that if you don't act right, we're going to punish you, we're going to put you in solitary, do you really believe that person can snap to it and say, oh, okay, I'll act right? It's not like that. If they're mentally ill and you threaten them with punishment for whatever behavior they're exhibiting, your threatening them does not make them well. In fact, it probably puts them in more stress. You know, that's the importance of CIT training. Because I believe a great many of our police officers really do need AOT for our people to be able to, you know, have a place to live, food to eat, and continuous treatment that's been mandated by our court. That would help the police because, you know, sometimes they're so involved in caretaking for mentally ill people that they can't even fight crime, real crime, planned criminal acts. And so another thing that would help police would be CIT, that's Crisis Intervention Team Training. And I understand, I haven't read Tim Murphy's new bill, the 2646, H.R. 2646, but I believe and I hope that it still provides for some CIT training. Because our police officers and jail guards and prison guards need it. Every one of them need it, really. But it helps when some of them at least have special training on how to deal with people with mental illness. Force is not the way. Threats, that's not the way. You know, you don't do anything to excite them more or make them feel more threatened. You know, you've got somebody in front of you who's scared to death of you because, you know, you, to them, you present a threat. You might look to them, if they're hallucinating, they might think of you as somebody from outer space, especially with these police officers dressing in these black uniforms or dark blue, and they got shields, and they've got this mask over their faces. Some of the prison teams that extract mentally ill people from their tiny cells, they go in there covered from head to toe. And they look at them, and how do you know they even see them as people? How do you know that? They could easily resemble the mentally ill person's idea of a space person, a Martian or something. These are people under hallucinations, you know. So you must know how to use your voice in a calm way and talk to people who are having psychotic crisis. You don't have one yourself, their having a psychotic crisis does not give you any right to have one. You just, you know, cool out and have yours later. Don't have one at the same time that you're meeting and dealing with a mentally ill person who's having one. So it's very important to be calm and level-headed for your own safety. So that is why CIT programs is also very important. And we hope to read soon where the U.S. Congress put $15 million or more into CIT training, because this society is having trouble dealing with all of these mentally ill people being killed in the street and killed behind bars. We're having trouble because of that. You know, we've had all kinds of demonstrations. Did you know that the woman who was in the car that got shot 137 times, she and the driver were both killed. She had an extensive mental illness history that the police knew about. As a matter of fact, she had a warrant, and that may be why they didn't immediately stop by the police. And this was in, I believe it was Cleveland. I believe it was. And then, of course, we know that I read that even Freddie Gray had some history in his childhood of mental or developmental disturbance or delay. And when you look at the list of people who have been the focal point of many marches and rallies, and it's a great many of them had mental illness. And so we must treat our sick people, because if not, this could further damage the fabric of our society by all of us. You know, mental health treatment is not something for just those who have a close relative to be concerned about. It's your tax money, and it's your butt, you know. When they say you don't get treated until you prove to be a danger to self or others, they're saying, you know, we're not going to help you unless you hurt somebody, you know. And this is your butt, because you go to the same malls and schools and drive on the same streets as people who are experiencing mental health crisis. So for community safety's sake and to save tax money, it's much more feasible to treat people than it is to await a crime in order to imprison them so that some rich prison investors can make out like fat cats at everyone else's expense. That's wrong. And because you know that, and you stood up and you showed your concern, this is why we have three victories to report. So I want you to please keep on standing up for mental health care. Keep on standing up for people with serious mental illness. Keep on being caring, loving human beings. Never be apathetic while you see people suffering. And again, we ask you to please buy Bloody Tombs. That's a book by Bob Darby, who is a great human rights advocate. He's been a human rights advocate all his life. He started Food Not Bums in Atlanta. He was anti-war activist, during the Vietnam War. He's always been anti-racism. You can read a little about him when you look for that book at Amazon.com and at Create Space. It's also going to be at Kindle in an ebook that you can purchase and read. But you can read part of it without purchase at Amazon.com. That's Bloody Tunes. Listen, I'm so glad you came tonight. I'm so glad I had good news to report. Keep on standing up for your life. Thank you.